Warning, the following episode of Warcides Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of A.J. Orsini and his guests exclusively. But seriously, guys, the show is called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit.
Hey, this is William Turner from Queens, New York, and you're listening to the 100th episode of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. Congratulations, AJ, and here's hoping for many more episodes to come.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, your job soul brother from another mother. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I am AJ Orsini, and today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, is a little bit different. Because I am not sitting here all day on my headset, I decided to do a little something different, and I got a little road trip action coming to you guys. You guys see the title there, On the Road with Mrs. O, and that's exactly what this is. I decided to hook up a little lapel, and we did a little discussion in the car, and the reason for that is because two reasons. A, time. This has been a very rough week for me, guys. I've told you guys that I have a very close friend of mine, a child no less, or at least to me anyway. He's what, 16, 17 years old, still in the hospital. For those of you who heard the episode and decided to send me some very kind messages, thank you. The update, as I was asked, is that he's still in the hospital. I didn't get into the nature of the accident too much. I just mentioned that he was in the hospital because I really didn't feel I was in a physical position at that time to even discuss such things, because it's, like I said, a very personal situation. I know the kid a long time. I've worked with him. He's a special needs child, autism. And it's a very touch-and-go thing when it comes to kids like that, as it is. And I didn't want to get too much into the details, because if I went through them, I didn't feel like I'd be able to get through them, so to speak. So the situation, the update is as follows. He is still in the hospital. The incident is still up in the air as to the reasoning, but the facts are is, depending on who you speak to, he either fell out of, or should he fell off of, or jumped off of a third-story balcony and landed on the cement. And so, as you can tell, just by that description, and he already has autism as it is, it's a very touch-and-go situation. So, I apologize for not being my usual upbeat self. I have not been that upbeat pretty much all week. My social media game has slacked because of it. I have other things going on, obviously. For more of this bad week, we got into a little bit of a fender bender. I now have to worry about repairs to my vehicle. Nothing crazy. No big, huge, tremendous crash or anything like that, but we suffered some damage to the left side of the car around the headlight, bumpers displaced, the hood. It doesn't look like much, but for those of you out there who know anything about cars, this is gonna take some time to get done. So we had that. I had a biology exam in the middle of all this. So I was studying. I've been running on almost no sleep. So not in the best physical and mental place, am I? And my friend, who's still in the hospital, is in induced in coma. They induced him into a coma for his body to heal and do all that kind of stuff. So we're still in the wind. There hasn't really been much of an update on all that stuff. So, having said all that, I really haven't had the time, nor have I had the inclination to sit here at my dining room table and break out the equipment and really do all this stuff. Also, I didn't really have a want to sit here alone. I kind of wanted a buddy for this one and someone to have a discussion with. I made a few phone calls to a few people, all of which either were busy or did not get back to me. So as per usual, my wife stepped up to the plate. As per usual, that's why she's wifey, because she's always there when in need. But we didn't have time to do it here because we had to go get my son. There was a lot of things going on. So I hooked up a lapel mic to the car, and we had our conversation there. We talked about many subjects. Spider-Man is back in the fold. We talked a little pro wrestling. We did some NXT stuff. I really haven't had my wife on the show in a while, so it may seem like a repeat episode. It really isn't. We divulged into some different shit. It's a really cool conversation, and it's really not that long. So I think you guys will really dig it. Before I have it already recorded, I'm going to put it on here for you guys to listen to and enjoy. Having said that, this is the one piece that I'm recording. After the audio you're about to hear about our road trip, that'll pretty much be the end of the episode. However, before we go, the opening of this episode, you heard a gentleman by the name of William Turner. Big fan of the show. As if my week could not get any worse after everything I just described to you, I found out, I'm recording this Friday, so I found out yesterday, which would be Thursday, that a big fan of the show, of Orsini's Uncensored Mind, a big fan of mine, who has been more than a fan in a lot of occasions, he's been kind of a buddy, kind of a friend to me, online and at shows, when I used to work shows with House of Glory, and when Fight the World used to do shows with Evolve, I would always see Mr. Turner there. Always lending a good word, positive guy, always upbeat, always, he was always into everything, he loved wrestling so much, and I respected him, man, especially as a fan, because he would always, I argue with fans a lot online, excuse me, but he was never really one of those guys, man. He really loved and respected a lot of the guys and gals of the pro wrestling business, and he was an uber fan, but at the same time, He really did, from time to time, feel like one of the boys. It was kind of an awkward relationship that he had with a lot of performers because of that. It's hard to let fans in because they take advantage, but Will was never one of those guys, and he had passed away a few days ago. We found out publicly, or at least I did, on Thursday, but apparently he passed away a few days ago. Funeral has already taken place, close, private with family. So, I my week could not be any shittier. Just on paper, just my week could not be any shittier. There's just so many bad things all happening all at once. But and you would think, hey, if you really need to talk to somebody and blah blah blah. I know we've been doing a lot about mental health recently online, and I've talked about it a little bit here on the show and all that other stuff. But even at my worst, like, which is kind of like right now, I don't think this is my worst, but I don't feel exactly excited about life right now. But even at this point, I don't really feel like I'm that low because, I just have so many positive people around me right now. My wife has been amazing for me. Amazing for me the last 16 years, but definitely this week. My son's been really good to me. I've got a lot of coworkers that have been there. I'm not really I feel bad, but I'm not really in that dark, dark place that people like to describe. I can't really sit here and say that I'm in that kind of a position. What kind of an ass would I be? I got a friend who passed away. I got another friend who's in the hospital. This is just a really, really difficult week for me. So it was nice to sit down with my wife and talk a little bit of the fun stuff. Some Spider-Man, some MCU, some wrestling. It was a good time. Good times were had. So I just wanted to get that out. And as a respect to the Turner family, as a respect to William Turner, I'm going to do something with this episode that I wouldn't normally do with a fan, but like I said before, his relationship with people was a little bit different. He was unique in a lot of ways, and he will truly be missed, not just by his fellow fan, but by performers themselves. It always sucks when we lose a member of the fraternity like that. So, being said, when this episode is over, and we have had our road trip audio, you will hear the ending of this episode will be the ceremonial 10-bell salute, the 10-bell salute that all performers who are deserving of such an accolade will receive. William will be the first fan on this show to receive that honor, and it's an honor that is well deserved. And I wish the Turner family well, and I hope that after all this is has passed and some time has passed, and they're able to let go a little bit of that grief, they're welcomed by the cool, passionate hug of the knowledge of knowing that William Turner touched a lot of lives, myself included. At any point in time that I ever felt down about what I was doing, whether it be this podcast or something in the wrestling business, Will was always one of the guys to pump me up and push me and keep me going. As evident by that audio you heard at the beginning of this episode, when I did my 100th episode, I wanted as many people who were a part of my life as possible on that show. And Will was clearly one of them. And I messaged a lot of people for those clips, and he was one of the first to respond and give me that clip. And he gave me a few clips, but that was the one that he wanted me to use. So out of respect for him, that is the one that I chose to use here tonight. So rest in peace, brother. Save me a ringside seat from William Turner. I'm hoping my friend comes out of this in the hospital as well. And I hope next week is better than this week coming up. I'm looking to try to get an interview. I'm going to be honest with you. If there's one thing that I do need right now, it's just to be around good people. So I think the next few weeks, you're going to be hearing a lot of different guests. Maybe not even interviews, just bodies in my house, just so we can have these conversations and have actual discussions. Because to be honest with you, the idea of sitting here and rambling off on my own does not sound that enticing right now. I'd think I'd rather be around people, and I'd rather be around good conversation, a few brews, and just kick back with the mics and talk some shit. So we're going to go ahead with the road trip, which is a lot of fun. So you're going to hear a change in tone in about 2 seconds. But me and my wife, we have our little road trip discussion. You guys are going to enjoy it. And of course, at the end of all that, we will do the ceremonial Tim Bell salute for Mr. Turner. And that would be it. So I will see you guys next week. I don't do any of my usual intro stuff for this road trip audio. So this is it. This is it here. So thank you for liking. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing. And of course, thank you for enjoying. And here it is, ladies and gentlemen, episode 108. Okay, so did you hear the news? This thing literally just broke. It just broke. And I told you. I told you. I stood with Marvel on this. I told you I did. Yeah. And a lot of people were like, no, Marvel's being greedy. We've come to terms. Spidey's back in the MCU. Oh, wasn't even a month.
And how much are they giving them?
See how she went right for the numbers. Okay, wait. Let's go right to the numbers, okay? First of all, they were blowing everybody. They did like a mutual thing, like a release on the information. Sony did it, Marvel did it, everyone's getting on board here.
So the original was 20%.
No, you mean the original offer?
Yeah, like they normally were getting 20.
Well, the original contract, but they were getting 50. They were getting 5%.
Oh, 5.
We're getting 5%.
But they at least offered them 20, right?
They wanted a 50-50. And then I think Sony went up
to 20
or 30, one of those numbers, like 30-70 or something like that.
And
that didn't work. Yeah, that didn't work out. So, and I think one of the other things about it too was that Marvel wasn't putting up any of the money for the production, and Disney was having an issue as far as merchandising rights go. So all things have been solved here. The magic number that they have agreed to is 25%.
Okay. But so they get 25
right off
plus.
The back right there, Disney won. Because the point is, it went up. Okay? Everyone was saying, well, Marvel should just be happy with what they get. No. Marvel's doing literally all the fucking work here. Sony is just footing the bill. That's it. Marvel's doing all the work. So they agreed. 25% is the split deal here. 25-75, I guess. And Disney is retaining its merchandising rights. They're retaining it. And they're putting up approximately a quarter of the financing for the actual production. So, they're getting more money, but they also agreed to give a little of it up for the actual production of the film, as opposed to Sony footing the whole bill. So, Sony's going to give them a little bit more money.
That's fair.
But they gotta pay up a little bit on this on this production thing. Someone somewhere along the line ironed out what those details are, as far as what Marvel's actually paying for.
But yes, so with this announcement came a release date. Because they agreed to one film. I guess it's to tie up everything that's been going on. Because remember, they left us with a huge cliffhanger at the end of the second one. The cliffhanger that, oh my god, the cliffhanger that is supposed to essentially change the entire Phase 4, which is why Spider-Man was last from Phase 3. It was supposed to be like this huge thing. So now they get a chance to tell their story. They agreed to one film, which will release July 16th, 2021. And they agreed to a Spider-Man appearance in another untitled Marvel film.
You know what that means.
You know exactly what that means at this point.
I don't know what you're thinking of.
I'm thinking of a new Avenger film.
Oh, no.
Where else can you put Spider-Man?
Look, Iron Man's dead. All I'm thinking about is that the next villain they have that has to be more badass than what they've already had. First nigga dying. Spider-Man.
Oh, she's dropping M-bombs. Okay. Who's dying? Who's dying? Spider-Man's dying.
Ooh, contract up.
Again?
You're dead. Again. But this dying. Time, for good. Born is death for good.
What was it Thanos said? No resurrections this time. That is it. Spider-Man will be gone.
He gets
one film to wrap it up, and he gets an appearance. They did not mention in what order that's going to take place. If he'll do the appearance before 2021 in another film, or if he'll do the appearance sometime after 2021. No, and this is important. I want everyone to realize this. No mention of Venom in any of this. So if the whole point of all this on Sony's end was to get Venom into the fucking MCU.
It didn't work.
It did not work. No, they did not do it. Because, listen, I think they have enough rated R movie problems on their hands. Because they still have to figure out what they're going to do with Deadpool.
No, honestly, I don't think they wanted to touch it with a 10-foot pole because they did everything wrong so far.
Yeah, Sony is the reason they don't want to touch it. They ruined Venom.
Yeah, they did not want to pick up the pieces. They didn't want to try to figure it out or to try to make sense of what they did.
The MCU somehow made the Vulture an incredible villain. It's like, look what we did with Vulture. You had Venom and you fucked it up. Not once, but twice you fucked it up. Yeah, we want nothing to do with that. So I tried to tell people. I said it. No one listens to me when I speak. I told you, Marvel is in the driver's seat. They needed Marvel for this. Across the board. Don't shake your head. It's the truth. It's the truth. Even Sony Pictures in the very article, if anyone wants to look it up. It's on a lot of news sources, but the breaking news came from Variety.com. They were the ones that got the quotes directly from Kevin Feige and from Amy Pascal, I think it is, from Sony. And Amy mentioned in the interview that she was doing a lot of damage control in August when we were in Florida. We heard the news break because fans were very pissed off at Sony. Because you can't do a Spider-Man film. We finally got a couple that were really, really good. And you're taking it away from us. People were fucking mad. Because they cannot do, I tried to tell Pombo, who the fans know about, he's been on the show a bunch of times. I try to tell so many people, well, Disney's being greedy. Of course they're being greedy. They're in the driver's seat. They're doing all the work. She had to cough. I dropped a huge Venom the other day. Right in the fucking trash. I actually didn't think Tom Hardy himself was that horrible. He's not Venom.
What they did with him.
He's just not Venom. He's not Eddie Brock. Whatever that was, it's just weird.
They actually made him like badass and not like this sweet guy throughout the whole thing. He could have brought that out in Venom. You know what I mean?
If he could have been more bad. More badass?
Yeah, like more villainous.
He's not a villain in their film, which I think was the problem.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He didn't need to be...
It was like he's a badass, but he's supposed to be sweet. It was weird. Remember the scene in the grocery store where he's supposed to kind of be...
I needed him to be a villain Venom, not a good guy Venom.
I think the only way to truly do Venom is
because he was a bad guy at one point.
He was a bad guy originally. When he was Brock. No, he was a villain as Brock because he hated Peter Parker.
Okay, well that's what
when he got the symbiote. His whole purpose of being Venom was to kill Spider-Man. I would have liked him more as a heel. I think if they started him off as a heel, it would have been better, right? Which is what Spider-Man 3 did. They just did it poorly. Topher Grace should have...
Don't ever make Tom Hardy a good guy.
Never!
one ever romantic film. Nobody ever remembers it. You can't have him as a bad guy.
Who's that? Tom Hardy?
Yep.
You can have Tom Hardy as a bad guy. No. Bane was a bad guy.
No, I said you can't have Bane as a Tom Hardy as a good guy.
Okay.
I said he's only did one romantic comedy. Nobody remembers it. You need him as a bad guy.
Well, he was good in that romantic
comedy. Or Timepieces.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Timepieces or...
old-timey lawman.
A bad guy. He needs to be, like, bad.
Or when he played those twin gangsters in Legend. Yes. You know, yes. He was my first cold open.
He needs to be gangsta, okay?
He was my first cold open for this show. Episode one is Tom Hardy. That's how the show opens.
Remember I had Tom that clip in my phone of Tom Hardy?
Which one? The one from...
come on. Where he was doing a push-up with one arm.
Okay.
Or something like that, or just his chest, something, but it was manly as fuck.
It was manly as fuck. You grew a beard watching that. Or no, the other one. What was
I need Tom Hardy being a fucking man.
You got pregnant watching that video.
Oh my god.
You like yourself a man. Yes. That's what you like. You like yourself a man. That's why you married me.
And I need Venom to be a man. Not a punk ass bitch.
That's why you married me, because I'm a man's man. Mm-hmm. That's right. But it all comes down to it. I'm more man than most.
Yeah, but they can't clean up what Sony did.
I mean, they can. I just don't think they want to take the time to, because it would just be... Like, look how long it took for them to rehab Spider-Man. It took 5 fucking films to get to this point.
So
I don't think
like,
they have
I'll give you one Spider-Man
time for that.
And another film co-starring Venom. Kevin Feige. Fuck no.
Fuck no. In italics. Fuck no. ! Dot, dot, dot. The fuck out of here. I don't want... What was the first...
Or it would have been like, he wrote on a piece of paper, like, we'll give you 30,000, turns it around, gives it to Feige. He opens it up. 30, he counters his offer with 25, and Venom is a piece of shit to me. That's why. I'll take the lower
Sony
offer.
Did such a bad job with Spider-Man that Marvel even refused to use any of the things that they used. There was no Doc Ock. There was no Goblins. There was obviously no Venom. There wasn't a fucking Harry Osborn. There wasn't an Oscorp. They didn't use any of that shit. They didn't use Mary Jane. They didn't use anything that Sony touched at all.
Oh,
they stayed far away from everything that they did.
Yeah.
There was no Uncle Ben story.
There was an MJ,
but it wasn't a Mary Jane. Right, exactly. They didn't even keep her to the same fucking skin color. They changed everything they could about Spider-Man. They just, anything that that Sony has used, we don't want to touch. We don't want anything to fucking do with that. Like, at all. They did everything they could to get away from that shit. And now Sony's like, oh yeah, we're just gonna make it. And then, what was it? Vulture and Mysterio. Those were the two villains. And then they tied him to Tony Stark, which people got pissed off about. Oh, why do you keep tying him to Tony Stark? You do know they're tied in the comics, right? In Civil War, they were like best buds. They gave him an actual Iron Spider suit, which is the one they use in the film. There's a reason Tony
put
and Peter...
The two and two together, people.
Until Peter betrayed him. But that's another story for another day. I might have to do that. You know, Pombo has invited me to Comic Conversation. I'm thinking about making a stop over there. And blending the two worlds of comic book and Orsini's Uncensored Mind. We're in the talks, folks. We're in the discussions of branching out, trying to get my brand out there on different levels in front of different audiences. That should be really fun. That's probably where this conversation is probably going to really blow up, because Brandon is going to piss me off. Because Brandon is on the other side of this as well. He believes that Sony was doing the right thing. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Marvel's doing the right... It's hard to root for Marvel in this. It's hard. The conglomerate, the people who own the world right now. Disney Plus is kicking everybody's ass. Hasn't even come out yet. What is it, like $5 a month? Something like that? They're giving it away for EBT points or something? It's like the cheapest product you're ever going to get.
No, why? Because people are still iffy on it, and they want to snag.
Yeah, they just
want to
get you in.
Early.
Just get them in, and then we'll worry about pricing.
Who knows? They may need this pre-order money to get it off the ground.
Oh, that's actually a factual right there. They might need that extra cash.
Yeah.
To get this shit up and running. You know, every streaming site when it first starts has a ton of bugs.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of bugs. Remember the WWE Network? You couldn't even load it for a while when it first came out. Same thing with Netflix and Hulu. So they're going to go through some growing pains.
Yeah, but I thought they partnered up with Hulu. So Hulu must know how to fucking stream it by now.
I know, but it's still new content working through a different system.
You sure it's a different system?
I mean, I don't think Disney's going to run directly through Hulu servers, do you?
I think so.
Really? Because that would be interesting. Because
they merged. They partnered up. So Hulu must know what to
okay,
do by now.
Okay, partnered up gives the impression that they're on the same level here. And let's be honest. Hulu and Disney are not exactly
on the
same.
No, but they're using Hulu.
Yeah, exactly. They're using Hulu. I don't know about partnering up. I know they use that terminology, I'm sure. Disney Plus and Hulu are now working together. Blah, 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 blah. How come that's just another thing. Is this another FU?
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, is this another FU to Netflix?
Probably.
Why did Disney not choose Netflix for this?
Because they ended on bad terms. It was a bad
Do they
breakup.
See? I mean, they ended on bad terms. When were they together? Netflix. Oh, yeah. Right. When they canceled all those shows and shit. Netflix was like, nah. We're not doing shit. They being petty. Netflix probably believes they can go head to head.
It's like, Netflix was like
we
Sony.
The game.
Netflix was like Sony. I bet they wanted something a little extra.
Oh, yeah,
and Netflix
yeah, yeah.
says, nah, I could do it without your fucking shit.
Yeah, probably.
And they just left. Netflix, and that's it.
Netflix was like, we invented the game, son. We're going head to head. Disney's trying to chime in on our shit.
But not only that, but you know what? I bet Netflix is looking at Marvel like, you know what? You know how to do Marvel movies, but you don't know how to do fucking Marvel TV shows. And I dare you to fucking do a show without us. Because we made all your characters good. Jessica Jones, Luke Cage.
They did, though. I don't know about not being able to do a TV show. I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so.
It's not as good as the other ones, but.
No, it's not as good as the other ones.
It's not as good.
I'll confirm that. I'll co-sign that. It's not as good as the Netflix shows was.
But
also, to be fair, the Netflix shows get a lot of love, but they weren't perfect. Daredevil was good. I like all three seasons of Daredevil. It was probably the best.
It was great.
People shit all over Iron Fist. No one liked that last season of Jessica Jones.
You want to know? No, I liked it.
You liked the last season of Jessica Jones?
Yes, I
liked Interesting,
it.
Because I got a lot of negative feedback.
I like it way more than anything Iron Fist related. Okay.
Okay. Well, that's a given. Iron Fist was a complete fucking debacle.
It was.
With the exception of Colleen Wigg.
Okay.
So what was even the other one?
Luke Cage.
I like Luke Cage. I don't think it was that bad. That last season.
Oh,
also,
the Punisher.
I didn't like the way that last season ended, Luke Cage.
But
actually, the Punisher season 2 wasn't that great either.
It doesn't even look. It's better than anything
and the Defenders.
Marvel has anything done.
Oh my god, the Defenders.
Far as TV shows go,
horrid. Yes, I will give them that. But
so they're probably
you know
like,
who you know
then
who
fucking do it. No, Netflix said then fucking continue it without us. Do it. Go ahead. If you think you
and
can continue
are.
These without us, go ahead. Do it.
Well, we're going to see what they got, because they've got WandaVision coming, they've got Loki coming, they've got all kinds of new shows coming out. We're going to see. But see, Disney cheated, though. If their shows are a success on Disney+, it will be cheap, in my opinion. Because at least Netflix built from the ground up. They took these characters, they brought in actors, they brought in these writers to build this story. They took a chance. We didn't know that British guy was going to come in and be a good Daredevil. Who the fuck saw that shit coming?
Everybody saw him and was like, no.
Yeah, at first they were like, no, this is ridiculous, and he ended up being great. What was the marker on that one? 1726.
Oh, you just continued talking. Yeah, but they didn't know that he was going to be great at first. Everybody shit on that, but they made it work.
But they made it work, exactly. That's why I say I think it's cheap. Because Disney announced these shows, but they announced these shows with the MCU
with
actors in
already.
Them.
Yeah,
right, and they're already established characters, actors within these characters. Elizabeth Olsen has been Scarlet Witch for forever. Paul Bettany has been Vision for forever. Low-key, Tom Hiddleston's been there for forever. They got Hawkeye. They got Captain America. They got fucking Winter Soldier.
They got names. And
now,
Netflix
granted,
didn't have names.
Granted, they built those names themselves, but they didn't build them in TV show format. They built them through the base and power of the MCU. They made those stars, putting them around Evans and Downey, and that's how they built those names out. Netflix built these stars up from the ground up. They worked hard to get these characters over. Disney's starting TV shows up with already made, tailor-made talent.
I know, it's about to say.
It's bullshit, yeah. Is what it is. It's bullshit, man. It's bullshit.
Let's see where they go.
Imagine they do that with the big names and they don't succeed with them. Imagine the shows are not nearly as good as the fucking movies, regardless of the actor. Because the, you know,
I think
who's,
a lot of people
you know
will
who's
give
not
it a
doing,
chance.
Well, they're going to give it a shot, but you know who's not doing the television show, the streaming shows? Feige's not doing that.
Who is?
I don't know the. I know Feige's not. I don't know the. I could research that. I should have that by next week. I should find out who's doing those shows. But it ain't Feige. And Feige's the one who did all those movies. So if he's supposedly the man with the magic touch, Disney has him doing everything. He's doing the Star Wars movie now. For Disney Plus. Kevin Feige has the best tasting dick in the business right now. Everyone's all over this guy.
He knows Kevin how to Feige. Hit the spot.
He knows how to hit the spot just right. He's got that curve at the end that hits the G. Ah, man. We got a lot of stuff done way over at Disney. I didn't realize we were going to go that deep. That's awesome. Well, we got some other stuff here. I have some other stuff I was supposed to surprise you with here.
So what happened?
Let's talk about it. Hold on. Let me pull this up. We're going to talk a little WWE commentating situation because I already mentioned this on the show already, but when I had mentioned it, it was rumor. It was rumor, and I don't deal much with rumors, but they were interesting to me, so I thought it'd be cool to discuss. But we don't have rumor any longer. The WWE release right here, I got it in front of me, press release from the WWE on WWE.com that was released to two media outlets. It's official how this is going to go. So let's go down the list here. Monday Night Raw. For the first time in WWE history, or for as long as I can freaking remember, will not be voiced by either Jim Ross or Michael Cole. We went from Ross for years to Cole for basically years, and that reign of terror is over.
So who is it?
No more Bagaud and no more Vintage. The play-by-play announcer for Monday Night Raw going forward, I believe, starting this Monday, will be Vic Joseph. Who? Vic Joseph was doing 205 Live. He is he's a play-by-play announcer that they've used throughout the system. He did a little NXT. He's done a bunch of different things. Little NXT UK. He's been all over the place. They're pretty high on him. Obviously, they're huge on him if they're going to make him the Raw announcer. But he's still young. He's still new. So this is good. It's a good. It's a different voice, finally. Someone else speaking. I've heard him do commentary before. He is not that bad. But he is not that great. We're going to see how this goes. Next to him will be Dio Madden.
Who?
Very new. As in, I don't think he's done anything else for the WWE. I think this is going to be his debut. And because they are so in love with the three-man unit, they just had to throw a third out there. And luckily for Vic and Dio, I'm going to go ahead and co-sign this third for a specific reason. But Jerry the King Lawler is returning to the table on Monday Night Raw. Hold on. Don't scoff just yet.
No. He didn't know shit for the end. He was a babbling idiot.
He was a babbling idiot because he was around Michael Cole, who would wave his dick around whenever he had the opportunity.
Jokes.
He's got they cut him off because the bottom line is Michael Cole doesn't fucking respect anybody. Michael Cole thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced
fucking
bread.
No, but that's the problem I have. They're going to see Jerry Lawler and they're going to think, oh, he has a reputation. He's been with WWE the longest, you know. Hall of Famer. I have to give him the highest respect. I have to let him talk. And they're going to let him
talk. So let him talk. What's the problem?
And they're not going to interrupt him. And nobody wants to listen to to Lawler. Nobody's going to listen to him.
False.
I don't want to listen to him.
I do.
Where did Corey Graves go?
Okay. No, we'll move on from this. We'll come back to Jerry Lawler later.
No, I don't know Jerry Lawler. He's going to start telling old stories and this and that.
What do you think?
And nobody's going to want to hear. And he's going to make whack jokes.
Corey Graves will be the color commentator for SmackDown now. full time.
God, SmackDown has taken everybody that's
Michael
good.
Cole will be moving to SmackDown the first time in a long time.
Why?
Michael Cole used to be the commentator, the play-by-play man for SmackDown during the early 2000s while Jim called Raw.
I don't like what the fuck they did right
well,
now.
Well, Michael Cole and Corey are going to Fox because right now they're putting all their eggs in the SmackDown basket because SmackDown's going to Fox. Brock Lesnar is now a SmackDown talent. He won't be returning to
Who's
Raw.
Who's the third man?
Well, that's the thing. As of right now, there is no third man. It'll be back to the two-man set between Cole and Graves, and Renee Young is being tagged as a special contributor, which means she won't be on the show every week because they have her hosting. Part of the Fox deal was that they were going to give a studio show to them. I don't know if it's an hour or 2 hours a week, but Renee Young's going to be hosting that. So she can't be on SmackDown every week, but I think they're going to try to find a spot for her because I don't think they want to take the heat for taking the lady off of commentary, regardless of the fact that she can't do it. She's the closest, I guess, they have to a female commentator other than Beth Phoenix, which takes us to NXT. NXT, as we all know, is airing now on Wednesdays, 8 p.m., and I have to clarify something because I did not realize this when I did last week's show. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you're the one on the show right now. You're the one who set it to record NXT, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And you caught it from the very beginning, and it caught it all the way to the end. The little emblem at the bottom showed up, everything. On our DVR, it was a one-hour program. Apparently, it's a two-hour show still. I mean, not still. It was never a two-hour show. It's a two-hour show. Apparently, I missed whatever was on the fucking network. Because there was one of the critiques that I had for the show is they had announced a Matt Riddle Killian Dane confrontation for that evening.
Mm-hmm.
It had never happened. So I was like, okay, that was weird. They promoted something that didn't happen. Whatevs.
Wait, so they split up the 2 hour show, 1 hour on TV, and 1 hour on the network?
I guess, yeah, something like that. I guess we missed whatever was on the network. Because apparently it did happen, because somebody commented on my shit and was like, oh, it did happen, it happened on the network. I went, what? And if you look on the network, yeah, it's a longer show on the network for whatever fucking reason.
Then they shouldn't be promoting that on TV.
Exactly.
Gonna be like,
my point still stands. It was still dumb to say it because I didn't know it was going to be on the network. It didn't even say.
It didn't say later on the network.
Later on tonight, exclusively on the WWE Network, is Matt Riddle and blah, 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 blah. It doesn't, that shit happen.
Well, maybe it's their way to try to get people to...
I don't have a problem with that, but you didn't tell them, and then tell them
if you want to watch the rest of the show, you're going to have to...
The problem is as the viewer, you didn't tell me that. So I don't know that it's on the network. I had no clue that it was on the network. So apparently, there's more. So on our DVR right now is another episode of NXT that we haven't had a chance to really sit down and watch yet, but apparently there's more on the network. Apparently. I don't... This is going to be hard to follow if they're going to do this. This Wednesday Night War is already starting off.
The storylines are not. Yeah, you're not going to be able to follow the storylines.
I can't
watch half of the storyline.
And Matt Riddle and Killian Dane is one of their more heavily pushed programs. That's just why I was excited when they pushed it, because they were like, oh, they're going to have a confrontation tonight. And they'd said it earlier in the night. So I already knew Roderick Strong and Velveteen Dream was the main event. And now they're telling me that Riddle and Killian Dane are going to confront each other. I went, oh, this is going to be a jam-packed fucking NXT episode, but the confrontation never happened, at least not on regular television. And then I got pissed off because I haven't seen the extra stuff on the network, so I'm thinking to myself, did you end the television program with Roderick Strong and Velveteen Dream on a title change and a big emotional win and the crowd was hot and everything was good, and you're telling me that shit continued? There was more after that? Who the fuck followed that? there was more on that program? So that takes us to NXT. So now we're on NXT here, and this team's actually kind of staying the same. So Mauro Ranallo will still be your play-by-play man.
I actually like Mauro a little bit.
I tire of him.
He's
a bit much. For the takeovers, I love him.
He is a bit much.
To hear him every week is going to be annoying.
I like his wording.
Oh, his vocabulary is great.
I love his vocabulary.
I just don't like the yelling.
Yeah, he can pull back on the
I don't like the yelling. I love the way he calls matches. A lot of the...
I like Corey Graves because he's sophisticated. And he plays around with people. And he's... Honestly, sometimes I feel like he's saying exactly what I'm thinking at the moment. Like, if something appears stupid, He's like, oh, that was stupid. That doesn't make any sense.
But he tries to cover it up.
You know, he does.
I've seen him. I've seen him get people out of jams with the way that he talks.
But I mean, like, he says exactly what I'm thinking, and he tries to make sense of it. And I'm like, I see what you did there. You did good. You try to make me think, oh, is that what I thought it was? Maybe not. Maybe it was done on purpose. So, I mean, I like him, but I don't like...
Did you hear Corey Graves? Like Corey Graves makes fun of himself. On commentary. Did you see the episode? What was it? I forget which Raw it was, where R-Truth and Carmella are doing a dance break. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Corey's the heel. Mm-hmm. So, like, Byron is trying to be the goofy black guy again.
Fucking hate Byron. Don't tell me he's on the fucking show.
No, he's gone, actually.
Thank God. I'll
get to the rest of it in a second. But, yeah. But he tried to be the goofy black guy. And he's like, come on, Corey. You want to do a little dance break? And Corey says, if I do anything more with this one, I'm going to get in even more trouble. And I was like, yeah! He acknowledges it! I like Corey Graves, too, to a degree. But even he sometimes gets a little maddening with him. But, yeah. So, Mauro Ranallo is going to be the play-by-play man. Beth Phoenix is remaining on the program as well, with Nigel McGuinness as your dual, I guess, him and her color commentator. So we're all in new territory, folks. We're all in new territory. I'm used to the three-man as far as a fan. As I've said on the show last week, I'm not a fan of the three-man as a commentator. I hate it. I've done two-man, which is my favorite. I've done three, which I can do, but it's horrible. And I've done four. Which I just wanted to eat a bullet. There's just it gets to a point where you just want to walk off commentary because it's just too many dicks swinging in the wind. You're bound to get hit in the eye with all those dicks. It's a pain in the ass. But yes, Byron Saxton is not listed anywhere here on this list for the upcoming changes. Those are your three major changes to your three major programs. Now, you got a chance to watch a little bit of that first NXT show, mm-hmm. of that the debut show on the USA Network. You said you liked it.
I did.
Did you get a chance to see any of the AEW stuff? Not really, right?
No. I saw an AEW commercial.
Yeah. So you texted me that because I didn't watch it live. I was in class and you were like, yo, AEW just had a commercial. And they've been commercialing. Apparently it happened on Wednesday as well.
They gangsta.
I think they petty. How they're not buying time.
This pissant company was able to buy a commercial on USA.
Little pissant company. That's what AEW is.
Repping TNT.
One of the criticisms I gave AEW was the one thing that I thought NXT did absolutely great, which was even for the stars that weren't on the show, they still told you about it. This is Adam Cole. He's our champion. He's fantastic. He's great. Check out how the audience loves this guy. You should love him, too. He's fantastic. Adam Cole, baby. That's his thing. It's cool. Meanwhile, in AEW, we have a giant man in a dinosaur mask for zero reasoning. Because they're not telling me at all about any of these people. Which goes to Cody's point when he says, we're not catering to casuals. We're catering to the hardcores. You can't cater to the hardcores, man. You can't. Not all the time. It's nice to have. But you need some casuals in there.
I like Velveteen Dream.
Velveteen Dream.
I like it. Kind of gave me a little backstory of what they've been doing lately to catch me up, because I haven't.
That was my next question, because you don't watch it weekly on the network.
I don't watch it weekly.
So did that package do a good job in getting you up to date?
Yeah.
There you go. See? A little backstory, AEW. A little backstory is nice. I think my friend Pete said it best. Why is Pac a bastard? Why is Pac a bastard? And then people got upset Chris Jericho wins the title. He's an old guy. He's the only guy you know. Him and Moxley. Which, talk about poor timing, Moxley getting hurt.
For real?
Yeah, staph infection. That's why he didn't go to All Out. He got sick in Japan. Which goes to show, folks, don't drink the water. I don't know if that's everywhere, but I've only been out of the country that one time, and that's what everyone kept telling me. Don't drink the water. I don't know how that works.
Staph infection?
Yeah, he's got this big brace around his arm. It's in his elbow. The same thing that almost killed Punk.
Oh,
Which, by the way.
He probably still gets that money anyway.
Who's that, Moxley? Mm-hmm. Of course he gets paid anyway. Because AEW is paying everybody an exorbitant amount of money for no reason. A lot of these guys aren't even working AEW shows right now. Although there was a big string of people who just did their quote-unquote last indies. Because of AEW going exclusive. You know, the one thing they said they wouldn't do? Not the one thing. There was many things they said they wouldn't do. And they're actually reneging on all of them because they're starting to figure out how big business works. Which is why I told everybody at the beginning of all this, if you're thinking they're going to be an alternative to the WWE, they're not. They're going to be another version of it because it's the only formula that works. They thought they were going to get all these high-priced talent. Not even high-priced talent. They're paying a high price for them, but they're not all high-priced talent. They thought they were going to get all these guys in, and they were going to work these shows, and they were going to be allowed to do indies and all these different things, and now the indie thing is all gone. Everyone's doing their hurrahs and their last indie shows, even LAX. Excuse me, Proud and Powerful. Proud and Powerful's wrapping up their indie run in the Bronx.
PP?
PNP. They were very clear on that. They were very clear that it's not PP. It's Proud and Powerful. And they're including the end with an N. PNP. Proud and Powerful.
PN Poop?
No. Well, they're going to be pooping on the tag team division of AEW, which I keep being told is supposed to be one of the best. That's what the Young Bucks keep telling me. One of the best tag divisions in the world. All right, well, I'm still waiting to see how that's going to shape up. Good pickup. Get PNP. But they're probably going to shoot those guys straight to the moon because who else is there? That's why I say this war with AEW and NXT, NXT right now has the leverage. They've got great talent and everybody knows, everyone's aware of, and they're still building into stars. AEW has a whole pile of people who have yet to be discovered. But no handcuffs, right? They can do all the promos they want, tell all the stories they want. Apparently the TV show is going to be TV-14. Ooh. They're going Attitude Era mode. They're going to be able to say bitch and ass on television. I'm sure that'll help all the ratings out. We're stuck in an intersection here. What are we doing, babe? What's going on?
I mean, Crossing Guard ain't doing shit.
Crossing Guard. I think his eyes are crossed. He looked a little on the off side. So what's going on? What you doing?
I don't know. Look, every time you bring up AEW, okay? I
What?
Look, I'm rubbing my head. I have a headache every time I think of
it. Because okay. You haven't seen much of it. Okay, so no, all you know is what I'm saying, and it just doesn't sound horrible.
It's not only that I haven't seen much of it. This is what I think. I think, okay, you know how you have a teacher and students? And then the student's always like, oh, the teacher's really not making the lesson engaging. The teacher's not really teaching me right. I bet I can teach the class.
Right.
Right? You know, and then you have that student who's always like, teacher's not really teaching me. I'm really teaching myself by reading the book myself. Right?
Yeah.
So I now you, okay. Yes. So you, they then want to all of a sudden be the teacher and think that they could run a class. Okay? And that's what I feel like AEW is. I feel like they're the students, okay? And they were listening to the teacher for so long, and the teacher did in fact make them smarter, okay? But at the same time, they think that they're smarter than they actually are, and they think they can run the class. And the thing is that the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes, you know what I mean? Yeah, they made a name for themselves within the, you know, with like Cody Rhodes. He always made every gimmick go over. Yes.
Under court, other umbrellas.
And Young Bucks, they got themselves over in the indies, where they were popular all over the world. At the same time, can they help other people get their character over? No, because you're not the fucking teacher. Yet. No, I do know that.
I do know that.
When they have a guy in a dinosaur thing come out and not explain what the fuck it is.
This is...
They're not helping the dinosaur guy get over.
They're not. The dinosaur guy.
If I have to say dinosaur guy.
Luchasaurus.
What the, whatever.
The fuck, que eso, Luchasaurus.
Exactly. Okay. Like, I honestly, I feel like nobody is going to get over. And then the Young Bucks are probably like, well, I'm over. Yeah.
Word. But see, that's why I feel
and,
like
and this. They already put the belt on somebody who's already over.
Jericho.
Okay.
Because, again, I think the thought process is they feel like they feel like they can get people over, but they're not really considering how they're doing that. They really believe that the way that I'm going to get people over is by getting in the ring with them. That's how they feel they can get people over. I'm going to give everybody rubs. We're going to fight everybody. And then I'm going to lose to everybody, and then they'll be over because they beat me and I'm a star. And that's not how that works. No. As far as a company goes, no. You have to be able to get this talent over without being involved. You can't fight everybody. Not at once. If you're fighting the Lucha Bros, then someone else has to come in and figure. And that's the other thing. Tony Khan's the booker. You know, the guy who's funding the place's son. Who has claimed several times that he's a huge wrestling fan and he knows a lot about wrestling history. That's how he met these guys. But that doesn't make you a booker. I know a lot of people who've dedicated their lives to this business who cannot book. I think he made a good move with the Jericho idea. But this whole thing with the AAA tag titles and all that other stuff, you did more for AAA than AAA did for you. What was the point? I don't know. I don't think it helps their case if they're not explaining any of these characters to people. Especially when they, like, I think Cornette said it the best. At least the guy with no legs hasn't come back. It's a step in the right direction. The guy with no legs didn't come back. I have no problem with the guy with no legs.
I mean,
but he's a guy with no legs.
You know what? In fairness, I have to give, like, Impact a little bit of, like, a compliment. Because, I mean,
because of the way they use LAX.
They had people that had no background that was green.
Yeah.
And they made them a name. Like Tessa. She first started out, she was green. She had a bad attitude to people.
She was just even Tully's WWE. Daughter.
Yeah, just somebody's daughter. She has made a name for herself. They pushed her. Platform. They did different things.
But you know why Impact can do that? Because Impact's run by a lot of old school wrestlers and bookers and promoters.
Teachers.
People okay. who've been on AEW that side of the business forever.
The students run. It's like that thing. The inmates are running the asylum now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the only the mistake I think is the fact that Kenny and the Young Bucks in particular are still active. How can you possibly be unbiased to any of the talent when you're on top of the card?
Yeah, you can't do two things at the same time. You can't.
It's like
you are Triple H-ing the pay-per-view.
Yeah, you put yourself on top because you're one of the top draws. But because you're one of the top draws, you can't elevate that other person to be a top draw with you because you're holding the top spot. Yes, you want to get as many talents over as you can. Kenny Omega has lost to Chris Jericho. Kenny Omega has lost to Pac. Kenny Omega has, I think, only one real win under his belt in AEW.
So again, the inmates are running the asylum. Go.
Yeah, I was just saying, it's like when you're a guy like Kenny Omega, when you're the Young Bucks, and you're saying to yourself, "Well, we're one of the top draws in the world. That's what's gonna make the company so successful." Correct. You are one of the top draws in the world. That's why. You're holding a top spot. You can't have a company where you bring a guy up to that position with you because you're holding that spot. You understand what I'm saying? If they were top stars in a company somewhere else, they weren't running, and they just happened to be a top spot, that's fine. All they would have to worry about is themselves, and then the bookers and the promoters, they take care of all the other stuff. But to put yourself in a position where the booker has to use you as a top performer and to try to find a way to make other performers at your level, it's almost an impossible feat, the beginning stages of a fucking company. It can't be done. At least not this soon in the game. I'm hoping people will be around long enough to see it to fruition, to see what really happens here. But right now, the only person really rocking it right now is Cody Rhodes. He's literally the only one. And he is doing it by being the complete opposite of what all the other guys are doing. The Young Bucks, I asked the question on the show, are the Young Bucks going to change their style? Are they going to do anything different to make it seem like they could do this week to week and not the indie-rific shit? Nope.
No,
I think this is the Young Bucks. That's it. This is just what we
do. Because they probably think. Look, yeah, they probably think we followed our gut instinct. We followed through with all our ideas, and it's paid off for us. Right. So let us continue doing that, and we're hoping it'll pay off for somebody else.
I think they're thinking like with Cody slowing down and becoming more of an old school wrestler, and Kenny trying to do some of that as well. We need some shock and awe on the show, so I guess it'll be us, since that's what we do. They're pretty shock at all. A lot of their choreography is ridiculous. I was showing, I think I mentioned it on the show, I'm not sure. I showed David and his girl the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Bros on the last pay-per-view, the All Out show, the ladder match. Mm-hmm. What's that? Escuela de la Muerte. And that was choreography central. I mean, I explained it to my brother before it happened, because this is the way the Young Bucks wrestle. Footwork and spacing and timing. That's how they work. I will never forget. Never forget. Many moons ago, remember when we were at the Ludus? What was that, 2012? I think it was something like that. And remember the show we worked with the Briscoes? We had the Briscoes against the Maximals or whatever. And we're in the locker room, and the Briscoes had the night before they wrestled at Hammerstein with the Bucks. That it was a tag title match. The Briscoes had defended the tag titles against the Bucks. And they came into the locker room, and everyone's shaking hands, and everybody's cool, and everything's going well. And I think Joel asked, so how were the Bucks last night? And Briscoe rolled his eyes and just made this stupid face. And this is in 2012. This is 7 years ago. And he just kept going. He kept repeating the same word over and over. Fast. They're fucking fast. Everything about them is fucking fast. Now, I'll give them credit. They've slowed down a bit. But the sequencing. This guy's outside, and there's a guy inside. So Nick will do the face buster, turn around, move himself to the outside. Here comes Matt in, and he does this. If you can't keep up with that shit, forget it. You fuck. You can't have a good match with the Young Bucks. It just looks weird. The Young Bucks need to fly around. That's it. That's all. I'm not going to say it's all they can do, because I have personally called some of their matches where they've done some different shit. But I can tell you from personal experience, calling those matches where it was different, the audience is not in it the same way as opposed to when they're flying around. That's kind of what the Young Bucks do. That's about it. And Cody Rhodes all of a sudden has become a wrestler from the 1940s. He's a grappler now. He's got that weight belt going. He's got that large old man upper body thing going. He's doing the whole
chair shot. Changed his whole life.
Yeah, that chair shot was like old school wrestling there. Even that stopped. They can't do shots to the head anymore. All WWE shit. They're talking about stopping matches if the blood gets too crazy. Yada, yada, yada. No hardcore, no intergender allowed on television.
Because I'm telling you, they're going to do everything the teacher did and then finally realize, oh, that's why the teacher
That's
why the teacher did it.
Because this is what fucking works. We're going to do all kinds of crazy shit. And then TNC said, no, you're not. You fucking stupid. People don't understand that part of the business. That there's a business end to this. And there's a little thing called standards and practices. We can't have you swinging a steel chair at a fucking chick on television. Don't let the news media fool you. The word equality does not mean that. That is not what it means. Okay? Quality does not mean that y'all can do the same shit we can. It's not okay to take a steel chair to the back of a woman's fucking head. Because the same woman who would sit there and tell you, yeah, equality, will tell you, well, that's not right. That was a bit excessive, wasn't it? That's what happened. Did you hear did you by any chance scroll through any of the controversy with Tessa Blanchard and Sammy Callahan? They main evented a pay-per-view. With an intergender match, Sammy and Tessa. If you watch the match for what it is, it's actually a really good match. If you eliminate the male female and you just say two competitors in the ring having a 1-on-1 match on a pay per view,
and if you called it without saying he's or she,
yeah, if you called it straight up, you would think it was a fantastic fucking match. Mm-hmm. But you can't eliminate the fact that one of them's got tits. and the other one's got a ding-dong, and they sold this match like it was a guy versus a girl. That's how they packaged it, as far as the promotional, you know, and Sami Callihan's being disrespectful to the Knockout division, and Tessa Blanchard's gonna stand up for women around the world. The match itself was booked like a fucking fight. They had a fucking fight. He beat the snot out of this bitch, for real. He was punching, kicking, everything he would do to a fucking guy. And she took everything the way a guy would, and she saw everything was believable to the idea, like when we were complaining before about how Becky Lynch will fight Charlotte in a cage, and Charlotte will fuck up Becky Lynch to death. But Baron Corbin will put his hands on her, and she's out for like 15 minutes. Oh my God, she got hit by a man! My Lord, have mercy! I actually think that to my heart that Charlotte might be stronger than Baron Corbin, but that's a whole nother fucking conversation. But that's what happened here between Sami Callihan and Tessa Blanchard. Sami Callihan has no fucking problems decking a woman in the fucking face. None. Zero qualms. He may not need a reason to do it.
No, but honestly, I think that's the way to book the match, because like honestly, everybody usually says if a girl has the audacity to step up to you and hit you and punch you, you hit and punch her back with the same force she's giving you. So if she's gonna come at it with, if she's gonna come at you with 100%, you're gonna give her your 100%.
Well, the funny part about that particular storyline is Sami kind of picked that fight. So when she came to the pay per view ready for fucking war, the audience was really behind her as a true babyface in that situation.
Oh,
which is funny because she was a heel in the Knockout division. But when Sami started talking shit about the Knockouts, she stepped up to the plate and got in his face. As a matter of fact, it was at the show that I sat at the Bellrose Ballroom. He said something, and they were going back and exchange words, and he gave that bitch a big boot. And then they proceeded to beat her with a bat and choke her out. And then the next week after that, Tessa got like some revenge on him, but he's got a stable, so like they overwhelmed her or whatever. All the usual shit that happens to an up-and-coming underdog babyface guy. They didn't really do anything that different. That's why I said on the show, if you're going to package your intergender like a regular fucking match, I'm with it. You can't tell me if you're going to package it as guy versus girl that I'm being some sort of a sexist asshole for saying I don't want to see it. I don't want to say, especially if you're packaging it as like a hulking dude, like a really big dude, and like this 110-pound chick who probably wouldn't beat anybody in the women's division as it is.
They probably weigh the same.
Yeah, Blanchard is a fucking athlete. You seen fucking Tessa Blanchard? Bitch has got delts. She's got boom. She's got abs. She's got the whole deal.
She got no neck.
She got no neck. That's right here. She got that underbite that right here. That chin. Yeah. It juts. It's a very juttable chin. It comes all the way
out. She has an American Dad chin.
She does. Stan. She's got Stan chin right here. Stan Smith chin right there.
Or does she have the...
That's why it's like...
Giggity chin.
Yeah. Oh, Quagmire Giggity. Yeah. I said it at the pay-per-view, but I was at that show at Melrose, the one where he gave her the boot. I was talking to Santana after the show. He was like, yo, he clocked her. I was like, how could he miss? And Bullseye is right there. If you missed that boot, that's it. You fired. How the fuck you phantom boot Tessa Blanchard? It can't be done. Throw a dart in the room. It's going to hit her on the chin. And that's all that matters. But she's an amazing athlete. She looks like a fucking brick house. That's it. You promote that pay-per-view the way that it is right there, man. Absolutely. Look, listen. We are about to pick up our son. This has been a fun road trip here.
That's it? That's all we're going to talk about?
That's all you want to keep talking?
Tell me about this fucking Killer Cross.
Killer Cross? From Impact?
Yeah.
What's about him?
Oh my God. He's a performer. Rodriguez brings him up all the time.
Okay, what has he told you about him so far?
He's just a big guy who's very athletic.
Yeah.
And has really good promos.
So he's like 6'4", 6'5". He is a big guy. Mm-hmm. A little on the flaca side, but he's ripped. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got a hell of a body, but he's not like a big hulking like Batista fucking dude. Mm-hmm. So it allows him to move really well. He comes off the top rope.
I asked him, is he kind of like Crimson?
Like he's actually like a little, Crimson. He's built like Crimson, but he's a little bulkier. He's got a little bit more muscle than Crimson.
He's very flexible.
Yeah, this guy, well, see, athlete. He says good promos, but, okay.
He was like, He's like maniac.
Yeah, I was gonna say the character is good. Now I don't know about the promo so much, but the character, he's kind of like a sadistic psychopath type dude, like the type of like I think he's even done angles where he's like stabbed people, like he's ridiculous. But he made headlines because his real life fiance, Scarlett Boudreau, who's this supposedly hot chick. I mean, she's like any fucking IG model looking chick that you can find, and not a very good wrestler at all. But they liked her. They did this whole smoke show gimmick with her. She was a smoke show, whatever. So they kept them apart at first, like when she debuted first, and then like he debuted not some time later, and then they eventually paired them together, obviously, because they're married, and for whatever reason in wrestling, that's a thing now, that you're allowed to just be together on camera, same as off, or whatever. And then she pitched a fit about something, and she got released. She asked for her release. She wanted to leave. And she's now working at the Performance Center. We'll see how that works itself out. But they would not release him, because they both filed for their release. They said, she can go, but you belong here. So he's trying to make it work while he's there. I actually agree with Rodriguez. He's pretty athletic. He's pretty good. I think if he had more people working on his wrestling game and less on his character, the character is fine. He's good, but the character, he needs to work on some of that wrestling stuff that he's been doing. If they can work on that, that's why I love the Performance Center idea of the WWE. They can work on that physical stuff down there. Impact doesn't really have that. They don't really have a lot of guys that can sit down with him and work that shit over. But and his name would definitely have to change. But with Impact moving now to AXS TV, they're going to have a lot more time to be showcasing a lot of this talent. I like you said, Impact does a lot of this development stuff with their talent. They tend to develop their characters pretty good. They just need a TV for you to fucking see it on. Now that they have that, hopefully we do a little better.
Maybe do some more marketing and let the public know we're not that shitty anymore. We're trying.
I'm hearing now that Impact's going to be a lead into New Japan. They're not even going to put them on different nights. They're going to put them together back to back. That's going to be interesting. And I heard Thursdays, which is not good, because that goes against, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's SmackDown, isn't it? Or SmackDown moved to Friday? No, Friday, sorry. Friday. SmackDown's going to be on Friday now. Fucking hell. Oh, but Thursdays is NXT UK. Mm-hmm. There's just too much wrestling going on right now.
It's wrestling every day.
It's wrestling every day. Weekends, too. Because I heard Beyond Wrestling got a TV deal. They're doing something on Saturdays. Fuck. Where's my TV deal? Now is the time to get ready in this business.
So get ready. Be the man you want to and know you can be. I'm kidding. All
right. Be the man you marry.
Peace, people.
Hey, this is William Turner from Queens, New York, and you're listening to the 100th episode of Orsino's Uncensored Mind. Congratulations, AJ, and here's hoping for many more episodes to come.